bleach you. You know, to give a testimony, first you must survive the test. I'm feeling like I'm dying from these drugs that I injected. I can go in either arm, left or right, I'm ambidextrous. My soul is desolate, my spirit is defected. I keep making wrong decisions that will never get corrected. I'm doing what I have to, never cared about the wreckage. I keep chasing this high, but I can't ever seem to catch it. I told you my story, now let me go a little deeper. I was dealing with a chemical that's deadlier than ether. I never show respect, living on the verge of death. Cause this heroin will kill me, smell the murder on its breath. I'm walking on this tightrope as I'm watching every step. Now I'm living on the run, I never sleep, I never rest. I'm having trouble breathing from the pressure on my chest. This anxiety is killing me, suffocating from stress. The residence I'm staying at is filthy, it's a mess. But I can't leave until this bag is gone and there is nothing left. So I'm stuck feeling empty, suicidal thoughts are present. The essence of my depression wants me dead without a question. The shit is in my blood, my whole family suffers. My sister's getting high with me, we're smoking like a muffler. My mother's an alcoholic, the addiction is intense. My father left in 84, we haven't seen him since. He chose drugs over us and yeah, I get it. It's impossible to stop, so now those crimes that I'm committing, I vomit in the sink every morning. I am broke, the complexion of my skin is gray, looking like a ghost. I guess I'll take his money, him and I were never close. I was supposed to buy crack, but somebody sold me soap. I never pay for nothing as I'm headed towards the door, and you can try to come and catch me as I'm running out the store. All I want is drugs, all I ever need is more. Me and my sister, we pass the needle back and forth. Blood is dripping off my arms, now it's falling to the floors. We manipulate the lighter, watch that flame hit the chore.
That was Drug Addiction Part 2 by Kalichi. We're in front of our studio audience preparing to bring to you the workshop using poetry and creative writing to discuss harm reduction. We will kick it off our show after the local news and weather.
My actions are erratic. And that spike is in my arm, I'm gonna die using addict.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Brendan J. Lyons reports in the Times Union that they have sources saying that the year-long investigation by the FBI and State Attorney General's office into the financial dealings of Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin and his political aide, Richard W. Crist, is just about done and is, and I quote, expected to result in criminal charges, end quote. Last March, Chris was put on leave from his $105,000 a year county job after the criminal investigation was made public. Chris returned to his county job 5 months later. Times Union sources claim investigators are looking at campaign fund problems when Chris ran McLaughlin's successful county executive campaign in 2017, and how McLaughlin, a Republican, handled campaign funds from his assembly elections. McLaughlin was an assembly person in Rensselaer County from 2011 to 2017. And you can read more about this story in the Times Union. Peter Fleurel reports in the Columbia paper that more than 75 persons turned out January 13th to a Canaan town meeting to hear about a new program for, and I quote, unaccompanied alien children, end quote, at the Berkshire Farm Center and Services for Youth on State Route 22. The Sheltered Hearts program would bring about 300 migrant children, primarily teens and boys, to the center each year. The center is overseen by the Administration for Children and Families and the Federal Office of Refugee Resettlement. The Berkshire Farm Center used to host up to 250 youth in residence, but the capacity now is 60, and there are currently 17 residents. Provided statistics, 54% of the children come from Guatemala, 26% from Honduras, 12% from El Salvador, and 8% from elsewhere. About 73% of children are over 14 years of age, and about 71% are boys who are in the program an average of 93 days in 2018. That lowered to an average of 50 days in late 2019. Berkshire Farm Center CEO Brian Parcheski denied there are any plans to sell the Queechy Lake property. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper. Sarah Tapton reports for Columbia Green Media that inmate Kyle Johnson was arrested January 14th and charged with assault for attacking a correctional officer at the Coxsackie Correctional Facility in November. Johnson allegedly attacked an unidentified correctional officer when he was being searched. The officer got a bloody nose and bruises to his head and face. And State Police Public Information Officer Steve Neville said, and I quote, he was sent to Albany Med for further evaluation, end quote. Johnson was in the prison after being convicted of first-degree burglary and first-degree use of a firearm from an incident in Rockland County in 2017. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Sylvan Lane at The Hill reports that both New York senators voted against the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement on January 16th. The measure, replacing the North American Free Trade Agreement, passed 89-10. Chuck Schumer said he voted against the bill because, and I quote, the Trump administration provides significant incentives for manufacturers to move their business and their jobs from the U.S. to Mexico, where clean air and clean water regulations are much weaker, end quote. Kirsten Gillibrand said, and I quote, bad trade deals, including NAFTA, hollowed out upstate New York's manufacturing industry. I don't believe this agreement will reverse this trend or help the generations of New Yorkers who lost good jobs, end quote. Pennsylvania's Pat Toomey was the only Republican voting against the bill, alongside most liberal senators such as Bernie Sanders and Ed Markey. Read more about this story at The Hill Reports. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News, local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information. Visit our website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hello and welcome to the better weather. Today will be dry with mostly blue skies, the opposite of what it will be doing tomorrow. Get those last-minute supplies while you can. Go early and avoid that fist fight over the last snow shovel. Today's going to start out cold at about 13 degrees at dawn and rise to 22 by 2 p.m. Cloud cover will be low and the wind will be brisk. So bring your sunglasses, winter coats, and don't forget gloves and hats to protect that exposed skin. Overnight, let those taps drift if you are so inclined. Temperatures will drop to 8 degrees just before dawn. Saturday will be for snowmobilers, sledders, skiers, snowboarders, and all the various snow lovers out there. As a warm front moves through the area, temperatures will rise from single digits to 27 at dusk and keep on going to the mid-30s overnight. As this warm front moves in, the snow will begin. Light snow is expected to start around 10 a.m. It will slowly intensify into the afternoon with almost 3 inches to fall by dark, with another 1 to 2 inches coming down overnight. Sunday will have a high in the mid-30s as very light snow continues to fall through the day. Next week, the cold will be sticking around, most likely keeping us from breaking through the freezing point. Looking way up, we see 6 near-Earth objects expected today, the largest of which is 302 meters wide, traveling at 17 meters per second. That's enough to easily destroy an average city. Solar wind speed is currently 325 kilometers per second at 3.9 protons per milliliter. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 1, quiet. There have been 6 days since the last sunspot, and this has been the better weather brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. Whether you're hunkering down or getting out for some adventure, enjoy the weekend.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill Cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Waveform's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Waveform Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Melissa Alftermar and Tony Stone of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Here's what we do at the clubhouse. It be fun at the clubhouse. Music stay loud at the clubhouse. Staff be cool at the clubhouse. Not just mine, just your house. Music program at the clubhouse. Got a drum set at the clubhouse. Got a piano at the clubhouse. Make your own beats at the clubhouse. Get on the video at the clubhouse. Share your voice at the clubhouse. Express yourself at the clubhouse. Tracks program at the clubhouse. Be yourself at the clubhouse. No judgment at the clubhouse. No drama at the clubhouse. We accept you at the clubhouse. Got field trips at the clubhouse. Got art supplies at the clubhouse. Creativity at the clubhouse. Paint your own wall at the clubhouse. Got a TV at the clubhouse. Got Wi-Fi at the clubhouse. Food and snacks at the clubhouse. Hope to see you at the clubhouse.
All right. And that was the Clubhouse original theme song by DJ WIC. Welcome back to the Clubhouse Radio, presenting 1 hour of Word Shop.
All views expressed on Clubhouse Radio are our truth and may not represent the views and opinions of the Clubhouse's parent organization, the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. This is DJ Phoebs, and I am here with
DJ BK,
Chef Yagi,
and our sound engineers.
Yo, it is DJ Kingston here, and
DJ Popcorn.
Hey.
Yo, so, just a heads up for everybody listening. We're doing some new sound engineering today, so appreciate y'all being patient with us as always.
All right, so we're here talking about drugs and harm reduction for the second week in a row. This week is the Word Shop, where we get to use creative writing and poetry, spoken word. We got some great pieces to break down and talk about, to break down this pretty huge topic. Yeah. So one of the things we wanted to spend a little bit of time doing during this show, as we build up to the poem we're going to spend a lot of time kind of working through together, is like really give some context for what we mean by harm reduction with drug use. Because I don't know about y'all, but I find that oftentimes there's sort of this like really single tracked view around drug harm, where people are sort of like see it as an isolated thing, like, oh, you're an addict and it's your addict problem and it's isolated from your other stuff going on in your world and we got to get you to sobriety or dealing with your drug problem. But it gets decontextualized from the larger world of like why somebody might be hurting or feeling harm or choosing to medicate, right? Oftentimes with substances, medicating with substances, which we're fine with when it's legal and then get real weird about when it's illegal. And also talking about the ways in which once that harm is existing and people are on drugs, the response is often really punitive and sort of like, we don't just want to pretend that's not there versus actually acknowledging that it exists and trying to reduce harm to people. So that's kind of the whole idea of what we're talking about. And so, you know, we can start with a little bit of the principles of harm reduction and also talk a little bit about some of the historical context too that like impacts people, because the poem we're going to listen to in a little while really gets into a deep and powerful sort of, you know, discussion about how social stuff matters and all this.
I can totally agree with that.
Yeah. So principles of harm reduction, we've been talking about them. Some stuff that sticks out to folks. You know, I think for me, the first thing is like, it's not ignoring that there's harm around drug use, but it's really focusing on minimizing its harmful effects, right? Rather than ignoring or condemning them. And in the context of the show, recognizes that the realities of poverty, class, racism, social isolation, past trauma, sex-based discrimination, and other social inequalities affect a person's vulnerability to and capacity for dealing with drug-related harm. And that's the piece that I want to break down this show.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you're saying. This is a beautiful topic. And I think this is something that we all need to sit a hold and listen to.
Well, and I think so. Something that came out came up in our workshop yesterday was the harm of, and y'all talked about it specifically. DJ Popcorn, DJ Popcorn was talking about it on one of the shows before Juice WRLD's death, right? And the harm that actually, like, what actually came out of that, and his reason for, like, why he died, right? He was, the cops were coming for him. Right? So he popped all of his pills.
He got nervous.
He got scared. He popped all of his pills, and that's the level of harm that happened, right? Like, he ended up dying because of it, because it was an illegal substance.
Right, and, like, people talk about how, oh, we gotta criminalize drugs because they're so bad for people.
But then
the responses to the drugs create more harm for those people a lot of times, and that gets ignored.
That as well, and the fact that he was scared that the cops were coming, not happy that the cops were coming to save him. It's like, that's also a fact that comes into play in harm reduction.
Right.
That safe haven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being able to have, like, policies, like, if somebody's coming into contact with you and you're in a bad spot with drugs, that they're not going to hurt you more than you're maybe already hurting, right? So yeah, and like DJ BK, we were talking a little bit about the principles in here about like empowering the drug user, right? In this case, empowering the person who's dealing with substances to be their own agent around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like if they're doing that drug, you got to respect what they're doing. If you want to help them in the best way that's possible. Don't pressure them like Juice WRLD. The cops are coming from. If the law enforcement had a better way of looking at stuff instead of, oh, wait, you're using drugs, it's illegal, I'm going to arrest you, instead of trying to figure out the issues.
Right.
Maybe he would still be here today and be part of the 27 Club instead of the 21.
And if somebody says, like, he doesn't deserve to be here because he was a drug addict, right, then it's just like, okay, right? And, like, that actually is, like, some of the messed up mentality that I think continues to perpetuate, like, these sort of responses to people.
Well, that's something that we've talked about before, is that it's the stigma piece, right? Like, harm reduction is also about reducing the stigma that's present with people who use drugs. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about it. I've got a...
Oh, yeah,
I'm going to run and get it right
Pull
now.
Out the data.
The facts are here.
It was a deep science.
You got the receipts. Uh-huh.
Deep science.
You have the facts.
So, this is from the Green County Rural Health Network. It was done in 2017, and it looks like 620 Greene County residents, right? And so when talking about illegal drug use, it's a disease or a condition that deserves to be treated versus it is more a result of personal choices, even irresponsibility. 61% of people said that illegal drug use was a result of personal choices, even irresponsibility, not a disease or condition that deserves to be treated, while when talking about alcoholism, it's literally reversed. That 62% say that it's a disease or condition that deserves to be treated, and 35% that alcoholism is a result of personal choices. And why is that? I think it's because alcohol has been legalized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even
they're making money
illegal.
Out of.
They still
making money
did.
Out of it. And yeah, and they're still making, you know, prohibition.
They're still doing it. Exactly.
Right.
Prohibition era. They don't care.
I mean, how many people come down on people addicted to pharmaceutical drugs and or like using pharmaceutical drugs, not even like inappropriately necessarily at a level to medicate? Because they have something going on, right? Like, do people get judged about that? No, you get encouraged to go right to the doctor and get your pills and work out your stuff. You're not encouraged
to
abuse it.
Right?
Like, but that distinction between legal or illegal creates a whole dynamic of stigma. And next week's show, we're going to break down a little bit of what's happened in other places outside the United States that have legalized all drugs and really positive on harm reduction. So we'll save that for next
week.
Maybe
we should follow some same suit.
Yeah, like during like the 1900s type era, there was a prohibition law like passed because they believed that most of like the crimes and stuff were being caused through alcohol. So like, you know, basically it was prohibited and things they were getting like smuggled back from other countries and bring back to the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Mainly, I feel you on that, but mainly prohibition, when they started that, it's because at that point in time,
men were beating their wives.
Exactly. So they thought alcohol was the start of that, when in reality it was only the options and the general roles
just made
in society.
It worse. Mm-hmm. So I mean, if there was to be another prohibition law passed, basically it wouldn't end up well. but, you know.
Yeah, history suggests it's not the most effective way. And harm reduction, again, is a set of principles, a set of practices that can become policies that actually kind of go in the other direction, that say we want to reduce the harms of drugs. We want to support people in any pathway to a right relationship to drugs, whether that's abstinence or otherwise, you know, to, have those outcomes.
I mean,
so
it was with the president who tried it, and he just didn't work out well for him. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as a president, I understand, like, you don't necessarily get some say. You're just the person. You're the puppet of the show. Right. Congress runs everything.
True.
Yeah. And so I want to bring it back to a little bit to this, like, there's the larger sort of social conditions of the world we live in and its relationship to drugs. And we're going to break that down in this poem we're listening to. So we can start there. I know we had the other video too, the kind of context. But
so to start with, it's called Dope by Amiri Baraka. And it's looking at the reasons of why people use drugs and whether or not it's actually the drugs. Is it the devil? That's the other question that we'll be listening to in here. Or who is it, right? Like, is it the state of the world? So let's listen to Amiri Baraka, who was born in Newark, New Jersey, Leroy Jones, as part of the Beat Poets and became a black nationalist. He died in 2014 as Amiri Baraka. So.
It's a poem, I guess, that reflects, living in Newark, but I guess living in any ghetto. It's called Dope. Ray light morning fire lynch yet. Yes, the pain in dreams comes again. Race pain, people are people everywhere. Yeah, our people, yes, people, every people, most people, most people in pain. Yes, the pain and pain today. Oh, wow, it must be the devil. Oh, wow, it must be the devil. It must be the devil. Oh, wow, devil. Must be the devil. It can't be Rockefeller. It can't be him, no, Lord. It can't be DuPont, no, Lord. Can't be, no, Lord. No way, Nassau, no way, Jose. Can't be them rich folks. They's good to us. I know that Master told me so. I seen it on Channel 7. I seen it on Channel 9. I seen it on Channel 4 and 2 and 5. The rich folks good to us, poor folks ain't shit. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. Everything gonna be different after we die. We ain't gonna be hungry, ain't gonna be pain, ain't gonna be suffering, won't go through this again after we die. Oh, wow. After we die, it's all gonna be good. Have all the money we need after we die. Have all the food we need after we die. Have a nice house like the rich folks after we die. After we die, we can live like Reverend Ike after we die. Hallelujah. Must be the devil. It ain't capitalism. No, it ain't that. Jimmy Carter wouldn't lie. Life's unfair, but it ain't capitalism. Must be the devil. Oh, wow. It ain't the police. Jimmy Carter wouldn't lie. You know Rosalind Wooden or Lillian. His drunken racist brother ain't no reflection on Jimmy. Must be the devil, got him, I tell you. The devil killed Malcolm and Dr. King too. Even killed both Kennedys and Pablo Neruda. Overthrew Allende's government. Killed Lumumba and is negotiating with Step and Fetch It. Sleep and eat in Birmingham over there in Salisbury. Going under the name of Ian Smith. Must be the devil. It can't be Vosta. It can't be apartheid. It can't be imperialism. Jimmy Carter wouldn't lie. Then you hear him saying his State of the Union message. I swear on Rosalind's facelifted catatonia. I wouldn't lie. Nixon lied. Haldeman lied. Dean lied. Hoover lied. Hoover sucked too, but Jimmy don't. Jimmy wouldn't. Jimmy ain't lying. It must be the devil. Put your money on the plate. It must be the devil. And all be straight. It can't be Rockefeller. He gave Amos Poot Booty a scholarship to Behavior Modification University, and Genevieve Almost White works for his foundation. It must be Mellon. He gave Winky Suckass a fellowship in his bank. Put him in charge of closing out mortgages in the low-life. Can't be him. Yes, sir. Put your money in the plate. Don't be late. Don't have to wait. You're going to be in heaven after you die. You're going to get all you need once you're gone. Yes, sir. I heard it on the Jeffersons. I heard it on the rookies. I swallowed it whole on roots. Wasn't it nice? Wasn't it nice? Slavery was so cool, and all you had to do was wear derbies and vests and train chickens and buy your way free if you had a mind to. Must be the devil. It wasn't the white folks, them lazy self, and threw their own black folks. Well, now that you mention it, there was a certain ass black you white. Throw your ass in the bottom of the boat, your mama, your wife, and you never see them no more. It must have been the devil. Give me your money. Put your money in this plate. Heaven will be here soon. You just gotta die. Just gotta stop living. Close your eyes, stop breathing, and bam-o, heaven be here. You have all of what you need. Bam-o, all of a sudden, heaven be here. You have all of what you need. That assembly line you work on will dissolve in thin air. Oh, wow, wow. Oh, wow, wow. Just gotta die. Just gotta die. This old world ain't nothing. Must be the devil got you thinking so. It can't be Rockefeller. It can't be Morgan. It can't be capitalism. It can't be national oppression. Oh, wow, no way. Now, go back to work and cool it. Go back to work and lay back just a little while longer till you pass. It's all gonna be all right. Once you're gone, give me that last bit of silver you got stashed there, sister. Give me a dust now, brother man. It'll be okay on the other side. Your soul be clean, be washed pure white. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, wow. Now go back to work. Go to sleep. Yes, go to sleep. Go back to work. Yes. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Yes. Yes. Amen.
All right, welcome back to Clubhouse Radio. That was Amiri Baraka's Dope. We're here talking about drugs and harm reduction. Let's drop in, y'all.
What'd y'all think?
That was powerful.
What was powerful about it?
Honestly, he's talking about how, oh, it must be the devil this, must be the devil that. Everyone blames the devil for the drugs, when in reality, it's our own selves that are doing it. Last time I checked, we're not the devil. We're humans, right? We're God's creatures. When we're bringing that stuff in here, he's speaking facts about Kennedy, about all of Jimmy Carter, Rockefeller. Like, all those men had, must have some foul play behind all their businesses. Mm-hmm. And he's down there exposing it, so they ain't got no right to be mad because he's right. On blank period.
On period.
Yeah, it's like really bringing to light like what's actually happening in the political scene and the, like, around all this stuff. And Rockefeller, y'all know about the Rockefeller laws in New York State.
Educate.
Rockefeller laws. And then the second half of the show, we can watch a little, listen to a little video Jay-Z did about it, right? Talking about his hometown and like seeing this all come down. But it was all about like really harsh sentencing laws for drug use.
Hell yeah.
So, you know, so he's in the this is in the 70s. He's writing and talking about really what were the roots of unresolved racism, like, right, like totally unresolved impacts of racism, and then the response was to actually create more racism about it.
This is happening in my neighborhood as we speak.
Oh yeah,
my neighborhood right now is getting torn down. Like, from when I came upstate, I left New York City when I was 12, came upstate, I'm now 21, God bless that. But I go back to the city and all I see is poverty and pain. I don't see no happiness. I see change within the buildings, but not within the people, because the people are still broken.
Mm-hmm. Speak on it.
So it's, I don't, I'm, you know, I'm still at work, no words.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And when you put 2 million people behind bars from certain communities, they're left open for who to take over.
Exactly.
They want change, but they won't allow it.
Fatherless kids.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I mean,
all just trying to make a living.
And, like, you know, I think this poem, it's the context and the references he's making in the 70s, but, like, there's a bunch of stuff happening today that can add up, like you're saying, to the same sort of story. Like, swap out the names of the presidents or, like, the particular capitalists, right? Capitalism, it's only gotten more rampant since the 70s, not less.
We're a democracy, apparently, when in reality, we're treating it just like capitalism. We're just like any other country that we talk bad about.
Yeah. And when you put drugs in, that's the vulnerability piece, right? In the harm reduction, they talk about like people who have experienced racism or trauma, experienced discrimination, are more vulnerable to drug use. You drop drugs into communities with those vulnerabilities, right? And you're going to have an impact.
Yeah.
It's like the article that we were talking about, like, or joint statement was put out about Latinx people in immigration detention centers whose families are impacted. Their substance use rates are 4 times higher than those of white folk, right? It's a direct impact of
direct.
The structural racism they're experiencing. We can't pretend these things are in a vacuum.
Exactly. And all those people who want to get rid of them, they're bringing it right back. They're just looking for a pretty penny. They don't care about people's lives. And then when they get mad that other people use it for certain stuff that they're dealing with, they want to get, oh, it's illegal. Oh, you can't do it. It's bad. No. you brought it in here, deal with the repercussions that come with it.
So there's something that we didn't get to listen to in one of our workshops, but it's called, it's by George Clinton, and it's a spoken word piece. And he does this call out of the CIAIO of who dropped, who had drugs, who started a war, who can follow and track that money, and why.
Exactly.
So we're going to get back into all of this after a brief news break. So we'll be back soon. Thanks for listening.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Rachel Silverstein is reporting in the Times Union. Graduation rates rose in the Capital Region and throughout New York in 2019, according to data released by the Education Department January 16th. Statewide, 83.4% of the students who entered high school in 2015 graduated in 2019, 0.8 percentage points above the rate reported in 2018. In Columbia County, the cumulative completion rate was 86%, in Greene County, 84%, both above the state rate for all students. The schools reporting their graduates into two counties were Chatham High School at 91% and Catskill High School at 90%. Board of Regents Chancellor Betty A. Rosa said that although there was general improvement measured statewide, significant gaps in achievement based on racial and socioeconomic factors still exist. New York schools are going in the right direction, she said in a statement, and I quote, but we can never truly close achievement gaps until we address opportunity gaps, end quote. Some of the gains seen in the past year can be attributed to New York's increased reliance on local diplomas and alternative to passing the Regents exams for students from underserved groups, according to Ian Rosenblum, executive director of the education advocacy group Education Trust New York. Read the full story in the Times Union. Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Catskill Village officials have announced the Village Trustees and Planning Board, along with local real estate agents, will be undertaking a review of all vacant and underdeveloped properties in the village. The results of the review will help officials decide on potential future use. Village President Vincent Seely said the properties to be evaluated include the 55 acres located behind the Price Chopper, the former Rite Aid building on Route 9W, and the former Condor vehicle dealership. Seely said, and I quote, the information gathered will be used to see if the parcels are priced right. What are the challenges? What could be some optimal uses of the parcels? End quote. Seely said there are also concerns about housing to be addressed. He said, and I quote, can we accelerate the development of one of these vacant parcels to meet our affordable housing needs? End quote. Planning Board Chairman Patrick McCullough said once the property review is finished, the planning board will meet with local realtors to identify the businesses that might be interested in the parcels available. Seely said Angela Lanatou, president of Columbia Green Northern Dutchess Multiple Listing Service, has been invited to participate. Seely said the group of trustees, planning board members, and real estate agents will begin its monthly meetings in February. He said the review will continue through 2020. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Jennifer Gould Keel is reporting for the New York Post. Socialite Cornelia Guest has put her 456-plus acre estate in Ancrumdale, Columbia County, on the market for $4.75 million. Guest is moving, along with her collection of rescue animals, to Texas. Guest said, and I quote, I have a mini horse and a donkey rescue, end quote. She purchased the property in 2015 for an undisclosed sum. Guest is the daughter of the late socialite C.Z. Guest and polo champion Winston Frederick Churchill Guest. The Ancrandale property includes a 6,000-square-foot main house with 6 bedrooms and 5 bathrooms, plus a guest house, barns, fields, and trails. Guest said, and I quote, it's really beautiful. Every window I look out of is just gorgeous, end quote. Read the full story in the New York Post. Rebecca Carballo is reporting for the Times Union. The town of Colony's computer system was reported down on Friday, January 17th, due to a cyber attack. City officials said things should slowly start to come back online before the weekend. The attack was discovered late Wednesday and forced many of the town departments to take operations offline. The The town has not paid any ransom to the hacker. Town Supervisor Paula Mahan said a team of law enforcement and various state agencies have been working to respond to the attack. She also said the town's data was backed up and many of the departments were able to work without using the computer system, but the town's news release about the attack had to go out by fax because the email systems were down. About a week ago, the Albany County Airport Authority's network was also hacked, and the airport had to pay a ransom. The amount paid was not disclosed, but airport officials said it was, and I quote, under six figures, end quote. It is unknown if there was any connection between the Albany and the colony events. Read the full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXE News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, visit our website, WGXE.org. From the WGXE.
Okay, clubhouse, it's the fun house, it's the best house, bit of a mess house, no stress house, we joke around, or can be serious, so come here being racist or delirious, we don't make fun of, we don't bully, don't pull on the back a nobody hoodie, accept everybody the way they are, just facts, cause every time we sign in we make a pact. Cause it's the clubhouse, it's the fun house, it's the best house, bit of a mess house, no stress house. We follow the rules, community guidelines too, so nobody here acting a fool. We got radio, we got tracks, then we hit the art room and relax. Now we about to hit a throwback. Don't hog that remote, Bubba. You better give me the remote. Give me the remote, Bubba.
Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, live from the Catskill Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM WGXC, broadcasting Agra, Catskill, and Hudson. You were just listening to an original Clubhouse theme song by DJ AJ. This is DJ Phoebs, and I'm here with
DJ BK,
Chef Yagi,
DJ Kingston, and DJ Popcorn on sound engineering for us.
Talking about harm reduction, breaking down the roots of drug use, the deeper social context, and talking ourselves to a place, hopefully, where we can get to some clear ideas about how we reduce harm rather than causing more of it.
Right.
Well, I don't know, y'all. It's kind of a...
What do you got?
I was just saying, it was like some lively post-conversation during the news play. So I don't know, DJ, BK, if you got some stuff you want, you know, bringing home some... This is personal for you. I feel that.
Honestly, dealing with mental health issues, people look at prescription drugs, think it's going to help the solution, when in reality, people out there are taking those drugs, and they're zombies. They're not getting any help from those pharmaceuticals. So when they turn to medicinal weed, they're chilling. You notice those people, oh, they're chill, they're nice conversation, no switch or anything, and being by switches. And sometimes you cannot control those switches. So when you have something to mellow you out, it makes, one, you're a better conversationalist. I've noticed that about myself. And two, I'm free of expression. I'm not limited to one emotion, and that is meh. The drugs don't do anything for you. But honestly, with prescription weed and stuff and coming out, I think everyone can have a more self-expression towards emotions instead of being held back.
There's another medicine that should be evaluated like any medicine for potential side effects.
Exactly.
Right? And the benefits it can make. But
I agree. Coming from my point of view and my upbringing, I feel like the person should have his own choice if they want to medicate or if they want to heal themselves. In my shoes, the prescription drugs, they take away from how I truly feel on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
I suffer from mental illness. I battle that battle every day. It's a constant battle. And your head is like a trigger. I'm no good. I'm not this. I can't do it. Or like, even you heard it, I jumped on the mic and I just stuck. I just stopped. That's part of the illness, you know? And to the decrease that stigma, we go work together, uplift each other. Mm-hmm. Tell each other, hey, you look beautiful, you're nice, your smell is, yo, you woke up today, good job. Instead of saying, why'd you do that? What's wrong with you? It's negative. Energy speaks. Mm-hmm. So we all feel energy. That's one thing, we're human.
Exactly. And it's a whole decade that passed, right?
Yes. And like I wanted to what Q was saying, like you did a piece. You wrote a short piece, about 30 seconds, that yes. you developed a little bit more of, that kind of speaks to that anxiety and how you hold yourself, yes. right, working through things. We're going to play yeah, that clip go ahead. For it? All right. So we'll be right back in about 30 seconds.
They think I'm stealing. My anxiety kicking in. They think I'm stealing. My anxiety kicking in. They keep on staring. My heart racing, soul chasing. I want a bug, but I just can't face it. Is it cause my pants ain't the only thing on me that's black? I did it on my own, and I did it with no dad. If I was a white boy, you wouldn't be mad. And you know I'm a king, and you can't change that. Is that why you walk around looking like that?
Bars.
Big facts.
Bars.
Can
you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure.
Please?
I feel like living upstate, there's no air for me to breathe. I'm from New York City. Energy. You go to New York City, it's a city that don't sleep. So when I live upstate, there's quietness. There's one culture that runs everything. And if you express yourself in any kind of way, it's like, what are you doing? You're an outcast. And I can't live like that. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
And that kind of took away from who I was. I like to jump. I like to dance. I like to sing. I like to act the fool. That's mm-hmm. who I am.
Yeah. But when yeah. I go like you be a weirdo sometimes,
exactly.
right? Like
so
by
what?
Yourself. Exactly. Like, that's the being yourself part.
Exactly.
Right.
But when I'm outside and I start to smell, if I walk into a store with my mom or something, they're looking at me like, oh snap. Mm-hmm. I could feel like the security guard looking on the camera staring at me. Mm-hmm. I feel it. And I could tell, and I'm like, I feel it within myself. I'm shopping, I'm getting nervous, and it's like everybody's staring at me. Everybody. And you just yeah. feel it on the inside.
Yeah.
It's like you can't knock the feeling.
It's like when you walk in a store like that or something, right? And it's just like you know they're tracking you or they start following
exactly.
you around. It's like you just start watching your every move, right? Mm-hmm.
You walk into a class and they were just talking about you. Mm-hmm. So it's like, and I felt that every day. Every day. I've been called on my name numerous times. I've been told I was never going to be nothing in life because of my skin color. Graduated high school, went off to college. I got a couple trades underneath my belt. And nobody ever thought I was going to amount to nothing because I'm a black man.
Right. That's the. that's what we're fighting, right? Constantly,
yeah.
right? That's what the stereotype,
the
right?
stereotype.
As DJ Popcorn just said. Yeah, and that's what we're listening to in Amiri Baraka's piece, right?
Yes,
and.
And how I heal with that, how I deal mm-hmm. with that, how I control my emotions instead of going out there acting like an angry black man. I control myself. I have self-control, and I express myself in my music and my words
mm-hmm.
in different ways. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And as stereotypes go, because you are a different color than that person, oh, wait, you're acting a fool. You're acting this way.
Right.
That's our culture. I'm not telling you to knock that a certain way.
Yo, but wait, though, right, though, wait, but right, though, because, like, the acting a fool is not really it, right? Because, like, tell me how many, like, white boys during St. Patty's Day act
turn
a fool
up
and never get
exactly.
arrested. They will destroy a whole, like, block, a whole bar, and it's, oh, that's just what it is, it's St. Patty's Day.
Nah, because
right?
that's their culture, they're celebrating it.
Yeah,
just
right.
like
but they're allowed to.
That's foul. They should Ooh. Not do that. Everyone
Better.
Should be able to express themselves.
Yo. Better turn that hip-hop down.
Yo. Yo, I heard somebody say their music once, right?
Mm.
And so there's all these different reasons, right, where we're like, how are people supposed to move through space and control their anxiety, control their anger?
But,
why are there reasons that people do the things they do? Why are there reasons that people drink, and are there ways that to mitigate the harm that causes and control it, right? Like, why are we stressed out about these different things?
That's their personal choice.
Exactly, right?
And if you want to help someone, you cannot help someone unless they want to help themselves. That's their personal choice.
That's
and if they
true.
Don't want to do that, then you can't be like, oh, you gotta stop this. Like, no. That's like me telling you, oh, you can't wear black socks. That's wrong. That's your own personal choice. I'll show up.
I'm gonna wear black socks if I want to.
Exactly. Mm. I'll wear some polka dot socks. Mm. Let's get it. I feel you on that.
Like, I feel like this kind of goes back to, like, the school to prison pipeline type stuff. Yeah, because I just, like, remembered how they were, like, talking about how, like, many, like, it was mostly in black students are, like, when they go to jail, they're most likely not to finish school, but to go, like, straight into prison. Exactly. Like, when they get out, they're, like, destined to go back.
And they can't do that all because of a simple label. Oh, and a white person can kill someone and get a job the next day. But as soon as someone of color wants to do that, and they didn't even do anything that bad and want to make a career or something on themselves, oh, they can't do that. No, that's wrong.
I feel like it's kind of hard for a minority, for a black man in America. I feel like it's super hard. And on a scale of 1 to 10, not even a scale of 1 to 10. On a meter between gender and race, I feel like black men were at the bottom. We're not allowed to be masculine. We're not allowed to express ourselves. So we're not allowed to be men. We never had the opportunity to actually really be men and be free and actually withhold the stress and the financial burden of a family and actually know what family means. Like, a lot of black men run from love and family. Like, we don't know what that is.
So how are we supposed to accept it when we don't know what it is?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, the system has been constructed to separate families, break families.
So it makes sense.
And with, I guess you could say, like, during the 60s, white people going against war, they were allowed to, they were called hippies. And when a color person do that, it's called, oh, let's put them in jail, they're being defiant.
They're thugs. They're,
exactly,
they're
thugs. Tupac sent a great message to his people. His mother was a Black Panther. She went to jail fighting for their rights.
Shout out to Tupac. Uh-huh.
Exactly.
R-I-P.
Thug life. The hate R-I-P. You give others will fuck everyone.
Wow.
Sorry,
it's okay.
Listeners.
Listeners. We're going to take a quick break, turn up a little bit of Miles Davis, and then be back with a poem from DJ Kingston.
Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio. We are coming into the end of our time. We're doing the word shop here, talking about drugs and harm reduction. We had the great opportunity to listen to Amiri Baraka's piece, Dope, and now we're going to listen to DJ Kingston perform live a piece-inspired kind of modern-day version of what Dope was speaking about, the social factors that impact our wellness and our lives.
All right. So this is still in progress, but after Amiri Baraka... Must be me, ain't it? Isn't that the story, isn't it? Isn't it? That the black man is violent, that the black man is better than no one, must be me, ain't it? Can't be Trump, Trump and his walls, no, the walls keep us safe, the politician said, didn't they say? Must be true, who lies? Liars die, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? Do unto others as they would have them do unto you? So they must be doing right, right? Cause they lily white, right? A flower like that can't stink. Must be me, ain't it? Must be me. Too many boundaries asked by the black man. Must be me, right? Can't be the witches, white witches, wannabe voodoo queens, stealing our magic, calling it theirs on NPR, preaching plantain as though we all didn't already know. Can't be them, can it? Can't be the tanning beds, the white rope imitating dreads. Can't be that. Who does it hurt? They want to be dark like us, don't want to suffer like us, but it's all in the name of beauty, so must be me, ain't it? Can't be whitewashing, bleached music, bleached clothes, bleached hair, bleached rice, bleached nice. Can't be that. It's all love and light, right? Must be the dark. Must be. Must me. Can't be the MAGA hats. Can't be the Blue Lives Matter flags. Must be me. Must be. Must be me. Too shady. Too twitchy. Can't be Zimmerman. Can't be gaslighting. Can't be cops. Never the cops. Those soldiers, no citizens. Protecting us. Must be me. Can't be the pigs. Can't be Dylan. Nah, can't be him. He is just patriot. Be me. Must be. There's blacks in government now. The pain is all historical. Should just get over it, right? Right? Too sensitive, too sensitive. Toughen up that skin. Ain't you supposed to be on the street, boy? Can't be smoking anything if you're to be pure and clean like them white men. So it must be me, right? Must be this brain. Must be that. Can't be real pain. Must be me. Must be my like, my lack of control. Not the continuous ass to heal the way they want. Must be me. Can't be the identity politics. Can't be the whites. Can't be the system. It was made with safety nets. So must be me. Thank you.
Some powerful words.
Yo, thank you. It was the it was after Amiri Baraka, and just went to a modern day. This was off of one of our writing prompts in the workshop, and I did a modern day version of what Baraka was speaking on. So
I think you would have been proud to hear it.
Can only hope so. So, yeah, this has been a really stimulating conversation with all of y'all. And a big shout out to First Time Live Sound Engineering for DJ Popcorn over here.
Hey, DJ Popcorn.
Yes, sir.
Hey, let's get it.
And I think DJ BK has been on with us once before live, maybe?
No,
not
first your first time.
Hard to believe.
And
natural
first time.
Exactly. And first time live with Q here.
Oh, yeah.
Yo.
We're doing live shout outs today.
Hey.
First shout out.
Hey, it was great. It was
feeling
great.
The love.
Excellent. So, yeah, starting to wind down a little bit, right?
We're getting there. Yeah. Anybody got some?
You got anything else?
Closing thoughts you want to leave the people on this here topic of harm reduction around drugs?
All I gotta say is, if you see someone struggling, try to help them in the best way possible. Don't make them feel terrible. Mm-hmm. Point blank. Period. If that's what they're doing is their choice, then respect that choice. Try to help them the best way possible. Don't be like, oh, that's illegal. Well, is it illegal to them when they're struggling? Is it illegal to be hurt? Is it illegal to have pain?
And is illegal the relevant question? Or is the relevant question, are you well?
Exactly. That's the relevant question. It's not the relevant question, are you doing something wrong? The relevant question is, are you okay? Do you need my help?
Mm-hmm. And if you do need my help, how do you want it?
Exactly. How do you want to be
That's
helped?
One question I never was asked. How can I help you?
Yeah.
I was always told I have something for you. I was never asked, how can we help you?
Mm-hmm.
If you ask a kid, if I worked with kids majority of my life, and I watched kids from age 8 grow up, and I seen the difference. I seen how they cope, how they deal, how they express. Mm-hmm. If you actually take your time and really focus, you can really break down. You could save somebody from falling into that trap of being hooked on drugs. Love. It's deep.
Yo, and also just like, I think it's also like important. I think that's part of the thing. It's like, what does hooked on drugs necessarily mean, right, for somebody? Because I heard a story about 70-year-old guy, grandfather, had been medicating himself for years with opioids and heroin.
Mm.
Still working, still holding a job. He was in pain, and that was what he could do. He'd been on a steady level, had been just fine. Somebody found out about it. They were like, oh, you need to get clean. You need to go on. He died in like 2 weeks.
So it's the stigmas of the drugs and how people use them.
Exactly.
That immediate assumption is like, bad stop, right? So, versus then, like contextualizing where this person's
and understanding.
Like,
exactly.
Gives you a whole outer look of that person. You even know what they're going through on the inside.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for clearing that up for me.
Yeah, I definitely feel you on that.
Have that conversation be present in this, right?
Yes.
So, yeah.
So,
if you're dealing with anything that we talked about today, call up the hotline. Call
you
anybody.
Have the option to call up a hotline.
Exactly.
You can, and if you're a youth that is dealing with anything that you want to talk about here, the stuff that we're talking about, if you're 12 to 18 specifically and want to get involved in programming our radio show, join us for Radio Workshop at the Catskill Youth Clubhouse every Thursday and Friday at 5 p.m. The clubhouse is open from 3 to 9, Thursday through Saturday. On Saturdays, we do Tracks, which is a music-making program. And
every day, it's a safe space to come show up for what's real in your life and get the sort of non-judgmental help that
we're talking
about. And by help, we mean people available to hear
yes.
what you need
and
show
youth,
up for
I,
you.
And as a youth, I definitely could say that they are good at that. They're good at their job for that. And it's not even their job. They just want to be there to help.
Yeah,
and if you
to
are
empower
youth,
you to help yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're here. Yeah.
Yeah. And so final shout outs, because I want us to get to play A History of the War on Drugs from Prohibition to Gold Rush, narrated by Jay-Z, for y'all to listen to. So let's just get to some quick shout-outs here, right? Always a big thank you to Wave Farm and WGXC for making this radio program possible, the Catskill and Hudson Youth Clubhouses and Mental Health Association of Columbia Green Counties for supporting this program. Like I said, shout-out to our new people here. Yeah.
Shout-out.
Anybody else got any personal shout-outs going? Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to myself because my birthday's in some days.
Hey,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And a shout out to you.
Oh, yeah, get it.
Y'all go ahead.
I wanna give a shout out to my grandma. Shout out to my grandma. You 6 years sober. I'm proud of you. You did it. You did it. I lost all words. You gave me that willpower that I could do anything. Grandma, I love you.
Shout out to those troubled youth. And there are other options than hiding it. Come out and speak. I promise there's going to be someone there for you.
Is there any more?
All right. Good. Shout out
so
to you.
So we're going to just close you guys out with some, you know, Jay-Z, The War on Drugs. You know, history of the War on Drugs from Prohibition to Gold Rush, narrated by Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, not just a rapper, an educator, too. Get it.
Go ahead.
And a business.
BKLYN.
Enjoy.
In 1986, when I was coming of age, Ronald Reagan doubled down on the war on drugs that had been started by Richard Nixon in 1971. Drugs were bad, fried your brain. And drug dealers were monsters, the sole reason neighborhoods and major cities were failing. No one wanted to talk about Reaganomics and the ending of social safety nets, the defunding of schools and the loss of jobs in cities across America. Young men like me who hustled became the sole villain, and drug addicts lacked moral fortitude. In the 1990s, incarceration rates in the U.S. blew up. Today we imprison more people than any other country in the world, China, Russia, Iran, Cuba. All countries we consider autocratic and repressive. Yeah. More than them. Judges' hands were tied by tough-on-crime laws, and they were forced to hand out mandatory life sentences for simple possession and low-level drug sales. My home state of New York started this with Rockefeller laws. Then the feds made distinctions between people who sold powder cocaine and crack cocaine, even though they were the same drug. Only difference is how you take it. And even though white people used and sold crack more than black people, somehow it was black people who went to prison. The media ignored actual data to this day. Crack is still talked about as a black problem. The NYPD raided our Brooklyn neighborhoods while Manhattan bankers openly used coke with impunity. The war on drugs exploded the U.S. prison population, disproportionately locking away black and Latinos. Our prison population grew more than 900%. When the war on drugs began in 1971, our prison population was 200,000. Today it is over 2 million. Long after the crack era ended, we continued our war on drugs. There were more than 1.5 million drug arrests in 2014. More than 80% were for possession only. Almost half were for marijuana. People are finally talking about treating addiction to harder drugs as a health crisis. But there's no compassionate language about drug dealers. Unless, of course, we're talking about places like Colorado, whose state economy got a huge boost by the above-ground marijuana industry. A few states south in Louisiana, they're still handing out mandatory sentences for people who sell weed, despite a booming and celebrated $50 billion legal marijuana industry. Most states still disproportionately hand out mandatory sentences to black and Latinos with drug cases. If you're entrepreneurial and live in one of the many states that are passing legalized laws, you may still face barriers participating in an above-ground economy. Venture capitalists migrate to these states to open multi-billion dollar operations, but former felons can't open a dispensary. Lots of times those felonies were drug charges, caught by poor people who sold drugs for a living, but are now prohibited from participating in one of the fastest-growing economies. Got it? In states like New York, where holding marijuana is no longer grounds for arrest, police issue possession citations in black and Latino neighborhoods at a far higher rate than other neighborhoods. Kids in Crown Heights are constantly stopped and ticketed for trees. Kids at dorms in Columbia, where rates of marijuana use are equal to or worse than those in the hood, are never targeted or ticketed. Rates of drug use are as high as they were when Nixon declared this so-called war in 1971. 45 years later, it's time to rethink our policies and laws. The war on drugs is an epic fail.